Foundations Lesson Number 10, The Remaining Fruit of the Spirit, Part 3, Faithfulness. Going to the back of the outline, Roman numeral 7 deals with the subject of faithfulness. Faithfulness is defined as having the quality of being reliable, dependable, trustworthy. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China and the founder of China Inland Mission. One Tuesday, he was told that the mission needed $12,000 by noon that Friday, or they would have to close down. By the way, this happened in the late 1800s when $12,000 was worth a whole lot more than it is today. So in their meeting that day, Taylor prayed. His prayer went something like this. O Lord, you have always supplied all of our needs. This is your work, not ours. We have no doubt that by noon on Friday you will provide the $12,000 we need in order to continue functioning. But because the secretaries have been so overworked recently, we ask that this time you would meet the need by sending in 12 gifts of $1,000 each. Thank you, Lord. By noon on Friday, 12 gifts of $1,000 each had arrived. People often said to Hudson Taylor, Hudson, you have great faith, to which he would always reply, No, I just trust in God's great faithfulness. George Mueller was the founder of several orphanages in Bristol, England. One day, Mueller and his staff had absolutely no food for the orphans or for themselves. They asked Mueller, What are we going to do? Mueller had all the tables set and all the orphans come into the dining hall. Then he prayed, thanking God for the food he would give them that day. While he was praying, there was a commotion outside. A wagon had pulled up with all the food they needed for several days. The key in both of these stories is a condition of heart that says, I know God, and I know that He is faithful. Therefore, it doesn't matter what we're experiencing right now. He will take care of us. He will provide. We can always count on God. He is reliable, dependable, and trustworthy. Hebrews 10:23 says, Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Exodus 34:6 says, And He, the Lord, passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Do you know what's happening when you're facing more than you feel you can bear? God is giving you a compliment. That's right, it's a compliment. He knows better than you do what you can and cannot bear, what you can and cannot handle. And He's letting you know that you can actually handle more than what you thought you could. He is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. We've all known people who have been able to put their trust and confidence in someone to get a job done. Maybe it was a running back who knew that the offensive guard would do whatever necessary to move the defensive lineman out of the way. Maybe it was the boss who knew that a particular employee would always come back with the assignment completed thoroughly and excellently. Maybe it was the homeowner who hired a carpenter because that man had developed a reputation for always doing quality work and getting it done on time. My question to you is, how would you like to be treated like that? How would you like it if people talked about you behind your back that you were reliable, dependable, and trustworthy. I want to encourage you. That's possible. It's attainable for you, for me, or for anyone else. How can you achieve that kind of standing in the eyes of others? Be faithful. Be faithful consistently over years and years. Be faithful in everything you do. Refuse to take shortcuts. Treat your words of commitment to others with the utmost importance so that even when you're dead tired, you persevere because you can't stand the thought of having said one thing but having done another. If you live like that, first and foremost, you'll please the Lord. But secondarily, you'll also earn the trust of the people around you. Your faithfulness will speak for itself. We've seen in the scripture that God is faithful. We can trust the Bible. Why? Because God wrote it and He's faithful. We can fully rely on every promise God has ever spoken to us. Why? Because the one who made the promise is reliable, dependable, and trustworthy. God is faithful, which is an enormous blessing to us. But I want to encourage you not to think of that as just a great blessing. It's also a great challenge because God is our example that we should follow in His steps. We are called to be like Him. We are called to be as faithful as the God we love and serve is faithful. Matthew 23:23, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Woe to you, teacher of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." The Pharisees, according to Jesus, were guilty of straining out a gnat but swallowing a camel. In other words, they were intensely careful and super meticulous in matters that were important to them, but in other matters, even some matters that were of great importance to God, they were unconcerned. Every one of us needs to be on guard against falling into that trap. We need to love what God loves and hate what God hates. We need to embrace the priorities of the Almighty. When Jesus told the teachers of the law and the Pharisees that they had neglected faithfulness, He also identified faithfulness as a priority, calling it one of the more important matters of the law. We would do well to consider it as important as Jesus did. Revelation 2:10, Jesus is speaking to the church in Smyrna. He says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Years ago at a Wednesday night Bible study, I quoted this verse pointing out that we've been called to be faithful even to the point of death. I'd been pondering what the best response might be if someone were to hold a gun to my head and say, "Deny Christ or die." I told the people that the best reply I could think of was to say, "Friend, if you pull that trigger, I'm going to be with Jesus. If you don't, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is Lord." After the Bible study, a young man told me that if such a thing ever happened to him, he would deny Christ and then repent later. That, of course, is a really bad idea for several reasons, one of which is that Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven, but whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." But when it comes to the issue of faithfulness, God makes a clear point here of telling us that even death is not to come in the way of our being faithful. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Then Joshua 24:14, Joshua speaking to the Israelites, he says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Revelation 13:10, "If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword, with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Proverbs 26. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? So the Word of God makes it abundantly clear that we need to be faithful. We can become more and more faithful because the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in our lives, and He will transform us into the people of faithfulness we have been destined to become as we submit to His working. On our outline, I've listed some areas of faithfulness I'd encourage you to consider. Faithfulness to God, to your spouse if you're married, to family, to employers, to your financial obligations, and more. A son comes up to his father and says, "Dad, can we go fishing on Saturday?" The father says, "Sure, we can go fishing Saturday." Friday night rolls around, and the father gets a phone call from a friend who needs help with some equipment. So on Saturday, he helps his friend, and his son is devastated. We can all recognize that the father was not faithful to do what he said he would do. But why are stories like this so common? Is it because the father's value system says that fixing equipment is more important than going fishing? Is it because the father values adults as equals but children as less important? Whatever was motivating the father, if he had valued the words that came out of his mouth to his son as being so important that they could not go unfulfilled, which is how God views his words, that father would not have wronged his son. A woman says to her misbehaving child, "If you do that again, I'm going to give you a spanking." The child does it again, so the mother says, "If you do that again, I'm giving you a spanking, and this time I mean it." The child does it again, so the mother says, "If you do that again, I'm giving you a spanking, and this time I really mean it." Now the child is very insecure because the mother has taught her child that her words cannot be trusted. Why did the mother make two idle threats? Was it because she just wanted to manipulate the child into behaving? Was it because she was so occupied with other responsibilities that she didn't want to deal with a misbehaving child? Whatever was motivating the mother, if she had understood that it's absolutely essential for her words to be full of integrity, which is how God uses his words, then she wouldn't have made the mistake of teaching her child twice that her words cannot be trusted. So let's all learn to be faithful. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If we become people of great faithfulness, God will be pleased, and the people around us will be blessed. Amen.